Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
It is the will of God to heal me. This is part 10. Isn't it amazing? It's the same part 10, the same number of people that are in the Democratic debate tonight. Isn't that a... And so... 10 people debating. I'm talking about 10. If you would give me 10 $100 bills, you'd have 10 great days. I just hate that kind of stuff, folks. I just can't stand it. I just believe the Word of God, and we don't need to manipulate numbers and say, you know, if you'll turn this to the Psalm 7 and then 7 and give me 7. Don't really buy into that. If somebody does that, just write them down, not as being evil, but naive. We really don't have to get into that and try to manipulate God. It's just a matter of believing God's Word and being obedient to it, and then God multiplies that promise in your life. Anyway, there's 10 people debating tonight and 10 more tomorrow night. And I'm not impressed. The reason why I'm not impressed, I've been pastoring here through about 6 or 7 presidents. And praise God, I'm planning on being here for 6 or 7 presidents. They come and go. I can't even remember some of the presidents, let alone some of the people that run for president. These things seem very important at the moment. But the truth is, what you and I are doing right now is more important than what they're doing on the presidential stage. That's how important the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is vitally, vitally important. Let's look at this verse. You don't have to stand. You've been standing for a while. Thou will show, this is Psalm 16:11. Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I want to talk to you on this subject. Coming into the healing presence of God. Now, I don't know what the percentage are. It'd be impossible to figure it out. But I believe per capita and per time, there's more people healed in worship services than there is any other place. The reason being is because there is a climate of healing. I preached a sermon all over this country. I preached it everywhere called Creating Your Own Climate. It's an amazing sermon because we really have that. It was revolutionary when I started preaching 40 or 50 years ago because people didn't think like that. We talked about you're either going to be a thermometer or a thermostat. Most people are a thermometer. They just register what's happening. Some people be a thermostat. They can change the climate to meet whatever their needs is. And so we can create a climate of healing where not only one person but multiple people in the building will be healed. But you can learn, if you really learn to do church right, listen to this, if you learn to do church right, you can take church with you everywhere you go. You can, a car is a great invention to give you from point A to point B, but it's also the greatest prayer closet that's ever been invented. You know, my dear mother-in-law, Becky had the dearest Christian mother, I mean a true saint of God. I was talking about her to Sister Judy today. What a great lady she was. But she had a big closet. She lived with us. And she had a big walk-in closet that was off the back of her bedroom, but it was on the front side of our big family room where the pool table and all that was. And so she went in there, and she thought she was in a private place of prayer. And she'd pray. We could hear every word she was saying. She'd pray for all my weaknesses. No, she'd pray for the family. She's just an amazing prayer warrior. But that was her prayer closet. But most of us don't have... maybe that set aside time or got families, we got obligations, but almost every one of us spends some time in an automobile, and most of the time or many times that is by ourselves. That can literally be not a wasted time, but it can be what the Bible calls your secret place of thunder. Your secret place of thunder. It can be actually the most valuable time. Instead of giving people bad scenes when they cut you off, say, oh, this gives me 10 more seconds to talk to God about this issue and get it before the throne of God. Instead of being all frustrated, you know, God's really doing a work on me. And I don't think it's just because I'm getting older. I think it's like Dave was talking about, just getting more wisdom and more understanding. But God is just bringing a peace into my life where traffic doesn't bother me like it used to. I told Joel, I said, every sermon he mentions traffic. I've never heard him preach a sermon. I've heard him hundreds of times. Never does he mention a sermon. Traffic is a major problem for Pastor Joel Osteen. We need to pray for him. He still has a problem with that. Every sermon he mentions traffic. Of course, he lives in Houston, Texas. But traffic used to be a bigger problem than it is now because I've learned to make that valuable time. This is my prayer time. This is a time where I can really talk to God, and there's nobody listening. Because when you've got somebody that is eavesdropping, it affects the way you pray. You can't be quite as candid as you want to be. You can't confess as much as you want to confess. But man, when you're in an automobile or a truck by yourself, you can just let it all hang out and tell God, this is the way it is. This is my problem. This is what I'm... Now, God, let's work on this and fix it, praise God. So make sure that you're using your vehicle as your prayer chamber, as your closet of prayer, as your secret place of thunder, praise God. And so when we talk about the presence of Almighty God, it's a wonderful thing when God's people come together in a big house like this and you feel the presence of God. And it's a unique experience when the majority of people begin to praise God and worship God. You can expect things to happen. You can expect if one can put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000, when a few hundred people join together, something glorious ought to happen if they're truly praising God until God's presence can fill that temple, until he can fill that praise. And so he said, the fullness in thy praise is fullness of joy. Now the joy that he's talking about here is not referring to a feeling, but rather things that produce joy. The people that are the saddest in life are those people that base their feelings on things, because things have no enduring quality, no shelf life. So you can be gloriously happy one moment, and 24 hours later you can be just as despondent as you were happy, because it was on things. And there is some benefit in acquiring things, and this is the biggest benefit in acquiring things, is when you realize they didn't satisfy you like you thought they were. When you were younger and you didn't have anything, you didn't have a car, remember you thought, man, if I could just get my own car, I'll be the happiest teenager in Bexar County. And you got your car and you wasn't the happiest teenager in Bexar County. You was the meanest little brat on your street. You remember that. And so we get things and we realize that didn't really satisfy us. And so you go through these different things. And then if you're very astute, you realize that the human spirit cannot be satisfied with mortal, physical, fleshly things. You can only be satisfied with the presence of the Lord. And so when he said, in his presence there is fullness of joy, he's not referring to a momentary feeling, but rather things that produce joy, or as the scripture says, the path of life. You're on the path of life, and it becomes a joy. Enjoy in the journey. Dwight Thompson preached years ago a sermon. He said the Lord had to correct me because he said, I was always so goal-oriented. I was not enjoying the journey today. But the path of life is a place where you get the joy of the Lord. You're in God's presence. You know, Isaiah wrote about this, and I've always loved this verse. I've used it and quoted it so many times when I'm preaching. But he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord seated upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. There's a lot packed in that little verse. Number one, look at this. He said, I saw the Lord sitting up on a throne, not the throne, not God's throne, a throne. There's nothing that will usher in the presence of God more in your life than when you unseat something off of a throne in your life and place God on a throne in your life. This is not talking about the throne in heaven. This is talking about the throne of Israel. And the reason why this was so important, because the King Uzziah had died. King Uzziah was a king when he was 16 years of age, and he ruled 52 years, and most of his career, he was a great king. He had some problems at the end, but he was a great king. The Bible said he was a man of the Lord. He did right in the sight of the Lord. And so when he died, there was a great vacuum in Israel. But Isaiah said that vacuum was filled when we placed the Lord upon a throne in Israel. Something now was missing. You will have things in your life that are so important, and those things will be taken away from you by the adversary. Time will reel them in, and they'll be gone. And you'll say, oh, I can't be satisfied. You do that when you lose your parents, when you do lose your mother, your father, your spouse, your friends. Some of my greatest friends, I had two friends I talked to every day on the phone. Both of them have passed away in the last few years, and so now I'm just talking to myself. And the only benefit was that I found out I was smarter than my friends are. My conversations are so much better now than they were. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, these people are taken away from you, and there's a vacancy in your life. And the key to a life that is successful and happy is when you fill the vacancies, that throne, that thing that is so important, you fill it with the presence of the Lord. And so when you fill it with the presence of the Lord, things begin to happen in your life. And he said, and his train filled the temple. This is very important. When we talk about the train, what are we talking about? We're not talking about choo-choo. When we talk about the train, what are we talking about? The train of the Lord. You see, the Lord, it's impossible for the Lord to appear without his train. And it's impossible for the Lord to be present without his benefits. You can't separate the Lord from his benefits. And so to seek the benefits is really a mistake. It said, seek you first the kingdom. I'll add all these things to you. Another way is seek the Lord, put him on a throne in your life, and the train will be there. What's the train talking about? It's talking about the majestic power of God. It's talking about the authority of God. It's talking about all the benefits of the Spirit of God. And so when we're talking about what we're talking about tonight is healing. So when you get the Lord on a throne in your life, you exalt him by putting him on that throne that was in your life. Praise God, he's going to be present. But not only is he going to be present, the train's going to be present. What does that mean? It's called, in one scripture, I think I'll use it after a while, it's called the pathway of life. It's called the benefits of life. He loadeth his benefits on us. If you get the Lord on the throne high and lifted up, see, so many people want the benefits of the Lord, but they don't want the Lord high and lifted up. They want him in will call. I'll call on him if I need him, but I don't want to be bothered with him today because today I'm going to party. And so he'd be a problem when I'm partying, but he's not a problem when I'm sick. He's not a problem when I'm broke. He's not a problem when my loved ones are taken from me. He's not a problem, but when I'm partying, he's a problem. And so it's not really the partying that is the problem. It's that you literally can't take God into that situation. Anything you can't take God into is a place you want to avoid. You want to take him and keep him on that throne. And so his presence is there. His train is there. The Spirit of the Lord is just so prevalent in my life. And I can see the Lord increasing. And I really believe this is the way it ought to be, Brother Warren. I can see the Lord just increasing in power in my life, in duration in my life, in completeness in my life, in just ever-present. You know, I remember as a young guy, the Lord wasn't ever present because I didn't keep him ever present. He kind of came and went because that's the way I wanted it to be. But as I get older, he's an ever-present companion. It's there all the time. And if you have the Lord ever present, have his presence there, number one, it prevents a lot of sickness. It prevents a lot of disease. It prevents a lot of accidents. A lot of things the devil has planned for you simply cannot come to fruition. If your eyes could be opened and you could see spiritually today what the Lord has done for you to protect you from the time you got up to you sat down in that pew you're sitting in right now, I wouldn't even be able to preach. You'd just say, let me thank you, Lord. Because we do that. We all do that. We just want to thank the Lord for what he has done. But that's only the things that are obviously visible to us. But the Lord is doing things that we don't even know about every day. And the more you keep his presence, the more casualties, the more calamities, the more problems that are avoided. And this includes sickness, where you can walk in the newness of life. Praise God. And I refuse to just be a sick old man. I refuse to do what's happened to so many of my friends. You know, I see my friends, well, you're still up and going and you're still preaching? Why, of course. Becky's grandpa preached till he's 99. He wasn't near as good a preacher as I am. Wasn't near as pretty either. No, he was. You folks have to learn to take us preachers and be able to understand when we're kidding and when we're not. Dave was kidding about 50. He just said so many great things. But about 50% of the things he said, he was kidding. They were jokes. And you have to be quick, you know, and realize they're not really. You know, Joel's always talking about how handsome he is. Well, he's ugly compared to me. We both know that, but he's still bragging. Can't stand to see somebody bragging on herself like that. It's just jokes. But the point is, God wants us to stay active, mobile, healthy. You say, well, I'm 60 years old, and this is supposed to be expected to have this health problem. Expected by who? Well, my cousin, well, your cousin, you wouldn't take his advice on anything else. Why would he take advice on how you're supposed to be? Praise God. You're not supposed to be anything like your cousin. Your cousin's a straight-running, agnostic, atheist heathen. You are a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled Son of the living God. You say, we share DNA. No, no, the Bible said you're regenerated. You got a whole new set of DNA, praise God. You're supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, like Benjamin Franklin, praise God. Hallelujah. And so it's God's presence. The most important thing in life is eternal salvation. The second is your health. It doesn't matter how much you've got if you're not healthy. Every healing recorded in the Bible is a result of God's presence. You know, people just, they denominational churches just talk about, you know, I want teaching, I want this. But they have no urgency for the Spirit and the presence of Almighty God. I'm addicted to God's presence, His Holy Spirit. I can sense it. I can feel it. It's a tangible thing. And it does have intensity, and it does have ebb and flow. And that's the reason why I like to worship God, because when I worship God, it's like the tide coming in. Then sometimes I let it down and the tide goes back out. But I begin to worship again. Here comes that flow. Here comes that ebb and flow of God's Holy Spirit. When I refer to God's presence, I'm not referring to the omnipresence of God. That's all the time, everywhere, consistent. But when I talk about the presence of God, I'm talking about the focused attention of God that God Himself talked about when He said His eyes go to and fro, looking for somebody to rest on, somebody that will entertain His presence. Okay, number one, the attitude of coming into His presence. This is very important, and I'm going to be on time tonight because they got all those little kids there. I was at Rod Parsley's one time. So funny. I was sitting with, what's that guy's name, pastor in Kansas City. Funny guy. I was sitting by him, and somebody was preaching, and they said, we want everybody, Rod sure seats 5,000, want everybody that has contemplated in the last 30 days, whatever it was, suicide, we want you to come to the altar. And 500 people went there. And this guy sitting beside me said, every one of them is nursery workers. So I'll be on time tonight just out of benefit for the people next door. But the attitude of coming into His presence, this is very important. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Attitude is very important in getting your healing. People that are passive are not as successful as people that are aggressive. And the Bible teaches that. Knock. You don't just stand at the door hoping somebody eventually gonna let you in. Pound the door. The woman that went every day to the unjust judge. Jesus told that story to make the comparison. He said to the unjust judge, said he didn't fear God, didn't regard man, said he didn't care. But by her importunity, he was trying to give us a lesson on being aggressive toward the things that we desire from the kingdom of God. And so aggressive people receive their healing more often than people that are passive, just saying, well, maybe. Maybe I'm in the right kind of a service. People that need a miracle make their own service, either in the church building or in their car or somewhere. They make their own service. And so the attitude of coming in His presence is very important. A, under number one, the attitude of coming in His presence. A, Jesus is our high priest. That's very important that we understand that. What does high priest mean? It means that He is the final appellate. There's no one that we can appeal to above Him, nor need to. Jesus Christ is the final authority. He is our advocate, and He is our intercessor. Do you realize that nobody ever gets perfect enough in your flesh that you could stand before Father God and argue a case and be saved? You just can't do it. You can't get that perfect. That's the reason why you need to give your brother and sister a little slack. Give them a little latitude. Because there's no such thing as perfect flesh. If it was, you would get saved. My friend in Jackson, Mississippi said, He said, he was an evangelist, a good evangelist. He said, you know, he said, I thought about getting me a shotgun. And he said, everybody gets saved, they're going to kill them. Somebody said, why, Tommy? He said, so they can't sin. He said, the moment they get saved, praise God, I'm going to kill them. They go straight to heaven. Crazy. The point is, we get saved, but we're still not perfect enough in our flesh to appease the holiness of God. You have to realize how holy God is. He is a God of perfection. He's a God of sinlessness. And so our high priest, that's the reason why we don't have earthly priests today in the kingdom of God, is because we have a high priest. Why would you deal with a part-time employee about your sin when you can go to the owner of the company? I bought a lot of tractors in my lifetime. And I was just about to quit buying tractors with this guy because their service was so bad. And I walked into that place a while back, and the owner, he owns 8 tractor stores. He came out. He said, from now on, this is my personal phone number right here. You can get me 24 hours a day. I was just about to switch from Kubota's to John Deere. I mean, that very day I was going to buy a John Deere. But I bought a new tractor from him that day because he gave me his. I don't have to fool with people that's not going to be there. The people that don't care. I got the owner's number now. And I love everything people are trying to do, and I've known a lot of great Catholic priests, and I've known a lot of great pastors. I've known people that call themselves apostles and prophets and whatever you want to call yourself, just fine with me. I don't care. You can be high potentate. I don't care. Whatever you want to be is fine. But why would I go to somebody to appease me, to forgive me, when Jesus Christ gave me his personal number 24 hours a day? He said, you don't have to wait till Sunday to talk to Pastor Brandon or Pastor Steve or Pastor Hagee or T.D. Jakes. You don't have to drive to Dallas. He said, you have a high priest. You have an advocate. Oh, and that's just so important, because when you realize that you are somebody, you're only somebody when everybody else depends you're somebody. I'm talking about in this world. You can think ever so highly of yourself, but if the mayor don't recognize you, you're still not going to get a place to park. You're still not going to get a pass through the door. You say, but I'm smart and good looking. Don't matter. People decide. Well, friend, there's been a decision made about me, and it was made by Jesus, the Creator. He said, I'm the apple of his eye. The apple of his eye. And when you realize how the advocate, the high priest, feels about you, it starts building your faith. And it determines how you will come into his presence. He is our intercessor. I'm fascinated by courtroom. I love courtroom anything. I go back, I watch Matlock, I watch Perry Mason, anything where they'll have a lawyer arguing for defending somebody. I like it. I don't know whether it's because I realize I need to be defended. I just like that. And I was a big fan of Johnny Cochran. He was such a great attorney. He'd get you off when you was guilty. I like those kind of guys. You know, if your lawyer can't get you off when you're guilty, what do you need a lawyer for? See, that's what Jesus did. Jesus did not prove my innocence, folks. He got me off when I was guilty. That's the whole point of Jesus. There used to be a guy, I forgot his last name now, Jerry. Oh, Jerry was a great attorney. He wore buckskin jacket with a fringe on. Man, and he wrote a book called, you get it sometimes, you like this guy, called The Defense Never Rests. What's Jerry's last name? Man, he was out in Colorado. Man, this guy was a great, he never lost a case. Everybody he defended got off. And I just wanted to commit a crime just so to see if he'd get me off. That's how good he was. I know some of you people live that same way. You just want to do something, see if Jesus will forgive you. Don't do that. No, don't do that. That's not the way it's supposed to work, praise God. But he is a great intercessor. You need an intercessor, somebody to come in between you and the Father. Because Jesus was tempted in all points. You say, nobody knows. Oh, yes, somebody knows. Jesus knows because he was tempted in all points. What an advocate. What an intercessor. When you do that, that affects the ability and the way you come into his presence. You get a little confidence. Cast not away your confidence, Paul said. You get some confidence when you realize Johnny Cochran is your attorney. You know, when Perry Mason is your attorney, never loses a case, you get some confidence. That's all make-believe, pretty much, even Johnny's. But with Jesus, this is the real deal. I've got confidence. Because Jesus has the ability to sway the judge with evidence. But it's not my evidence. It's His evidence. The Bible said every ordinance against me was nailed to the cross. You said, well, I want to make an accusation against Brother Steve, and I'll put it in writing. That's fine. Because it's already been put in writing before I was born and nailed to the tree. And Jesus has got it, and it's covered with the blood. And the Bible said He blotted it out. And somebody said, well, look at this. And the judge said, I can't see nothing. All I see is righteousness and holiness. Praise God. Because that's all my attorney does. And so when I'm sick and the devil comes in, like he did to Job, I got a hold of it. Maybe I can work it in Sunday. But when the devil comes in and he tries to prove that you deserve your sickness, Jesus Christ is the interference to say, no, 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 no. Because somebody's already paid for that sickness. That bill's already been paid. You know, sometimes I'm in a restaurant, and a lot of people go to this church, and I know hundreds of you, but hundreds of you I don't know. But many times, sometimes, not often enough, I get ready to pay my bill, and they'll come. The waitress will come to me, the wait staff, and say, it's already been paid. I say, oh, there's a couple. Well, they're already gone. I can't even thank them. And so just a hint. You know, people do that if you want to do that. That's the first hint. Second thing is, at least come to my table and tell me you did so I can thank you. I always feel bad when somebody does that. Well, that's my whole experience with Jesus. It's not that I didn't eat and run up a bill. It's that when I got ready to pay, they told me, said, it's already been paid for. It's all, and so you get great confidence. This is vitally important. When sickness comes to you, when you get a bad report from the doctor, that you have confidence that Jesus is going to get in between me and that sickness. And that sickness is going to disappear. And you know, it's an old, well-used verse. But what the devil means for evil, the Lord is going to turn it into a testimony. Because there's thousands of people out there just like you that developed the same sickness you developed, only they don't have Jesus as an attorney. And so that's your witness to them. And so the Lord didn't give you that sickness, but He surely will allow you to turn it to your testimony, and you can say to your coworker, I had that same diagnosis, and the doctor couldn't fix it, but let me tell you what. And you begin to talk about not so much Living Way Church, but you talk about your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you catch their attention. You can't catch the attention of 20-year-old people that are in the prime of their life, and their daddy's rich, and they just won the lottery. But you can catch the attention of somebody that has a disease or a sickness or they've got a crisis or a divorce or broken relationships. And that's the time when you share your testimony with them. This is what the Lord did. And so A, under number one, is Jesus is our high priest. Look what it says. I just love that. And He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Jesus is touched with our sickness. Bill Clinton said it. He said, I feel your pain. And we elected Him our president. Just on that one thing. We thought He felt our pain. And then we felt His pain for 8 years. But this is true. Jesus feels our pain. Now think about it. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. When you're going through a sickness or pain, Jesus Christ is touched with the feeling of the pain of that infirmity. And when we realize that, it ought to give us confidence. Somebody's in here with us. We're not alone. The worst thing is when you're going through a sickness, a pain, a bad patch in your life, whatever, you just feel like you're all alone. And the devil wants you to always feel like you're alone. But Paul said, nobody can separate me. Nothing can separate me. Not anything from the love of God. We have an adversary, a physician that is touched with the feel of our pain. We used to have a great doctor in this church. He was a respiratory doctor. Some of you have been here a long time, remember him. I love this man dearly. He moved out of the country. He's in Costa Rica now. But he was a great doctor with one problem. Remember him, Dr. Bradley, great guy. He had one problem. He was the best respiratory man in San Antonio. And most people with respiratory, a lot of people with respiratory problems are elderly people. And he would do the best he could for them. But when they passed, as they would because of age or because of their disease, generally because of age, so many patients were ill, he just wiped Dr. Bradley out. I mean, he wasn't any good for a day or two. He'd cry just like that was his daddy or his mama. I mean, he was so involved. And I can tell my doctors don't care at all. They just care about, you got good insurance, son? That's, I have had pain in my neck. I've had, you know, horses throw me in car wrecks, and I've had pain in my neck. And it just gets in there. And it got real bad about a year or two ago, and I was afraid my neck was going to break off. I was afraid I was going to be preaching one day, and my head just fell off. I had to pick it up and put it in my like this. I said, this is not going to be good. It got to where it wasn't only hurting, but it was catching, like a bad hand, you know, like this. Get that little tick like Jimmy Swaggart's got. You ever know Swaggart? Get that deal is all the time. So I went to this specialist here in town, and I told him about it. In the first place, he was too young. I can tell that. But he was supposed to be one of the best in San Antonio. He took x-rays, and you know what he said? He said, your neck's better than most people. I said, what about the pain? He said, don't worry about it. It's better. But I got this pain, Doc. I could tell he was not touched with the feeling of my infirmity. Make sure you see the woman on the way out. He didn't want me to come back. He didn't want to give me a medicine for it. He didn't want to give me a shot. He said, you're fine. Every time I have a pain, I say, what a doctor that guy is. But Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He knows exactly what we're... That ought to help you understand. The Lord is so compassionate. His will is to heal me. That's God's will. And I've just got to remove the things that are keeping the will of God from being performed in my life. See, Jesus has paid the price of our sin. We have no... The Bible said he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has paid the price of our sin. We have no outstanding balance that would prevent our healing. I knew a guy that started a church in San Antonio. I gave him some money when he started church about 30 years ago. It's the church still here today. And I gave him quite a bit of money to help him get started. And he was trying to build a little building over here. And so he wasn't a good businessman. Man, I pay my bills. If I owe you, I'm going to pay you. And the sooner I can pay you, the better I like it. I hate to be around somebody I owe money to. I hate to be around people that owe me and won't pay me too. But this guy wouldn't pay his bills. But he had, as my mom would say, he had two gallbladders. So my mom would say about somebody's real nervy. She said, oh, they got two gallbladders. He had two gallbladders. He would go into stores, lumber companies, trying to build that church where he owed money, 90 days in arrear, hadn't paid his bill. And they would just, when he came to the door, they'd start, there's that preacher, won't pay me. He'd just keep walking right toward him. And he went and got a load of I knew he owed this one lumber company. And he went in that lumber company, and that guy bawled him out real hard for not paying him. He just sat there and took it. When he got through, he said, I'm going to need 52 befores. The guy said, did you hear what I said? I ain't selling you nothing else. I said, brother, what did you do? I wasn't with him. He's told me about it. He said, I broke down and went to cry. I said, what happened? He said, I got my lumber. That ain't me. I can't do that. I wished I was that humble, but I just can't do that. I couldn't do that. I just couldn't get in that position. You already got an outstanding bill. It prevents you from doing business there. Well, let me tell you, you don't have no outstanding bill with God. Not only is His mercy fresh every morning, every evening He settles your account. That's the reason why His mercy is fresh in the morning, is because He went by and paid your bill. So every day you walk in that store, they say, "We're glad to see you." When I was building this church, my brother was still alive. And my brother, I didn't know what he was doing. My brother went over and charged a bunch of stuff that I knew we didn't have money in the old building. He got a bunch of insulation from this place in Seguin, Slumber Company. And so I didn't even know we owed it. They were over there building. Well, this guy called me and he was all aggravated. I said, "Man, we don't have the money." And it was, $30,000, $40,000. "Well, we don't have the money." I said, "Why'd you let him have it?" "Well, he said you was his brother." I said, "I don't matter nothing." I said, "I didn't authorize this." So, he just berated me. I felt terrible. Well, and he said, "You can't ever do business with me," on and on and on and on and on. Well, a few days, God provided the money. I went over and wrote him a check. And that was that. And then I got to looking at some stuff, and I realized that he hadn't charged me for about $6,000. I called over, didn't get to talk to the owner. I talked to his secretary. And I said, "Ma'am, we owe you about $6,000. When you figured that, you misfigured. We owe you $6,000. We didn't pay you." And she said, "There's nobody does this." I said, "I'm sending you a check for $6,000. And so he called me. He said, "I want to apologize for being a little rough on you." He said, "You can get any lumber you want over here, anything we got, you can have it." And he said, "There is no due date. You pay it when you want to." And that was the way we end up building a lot of that church. I just go send a truck over there. He knew he wasn't going to get the money right away, but he knew I was good for it. And he was a blessing. I was a blessing to him. Well, that's exactly the way my life is now. Praise God. When I go to Jesus and I say, "Jesus, I need to be healed of this heart condition or this prostate problem or whatever it is," praise God, there is no outstanding bill that's going to prevent me. That bill has been paid, and it is paid every day in full. Every day in full, and His mercy. I'm talking about coming into God's presence and the attitude. See, if you come into God's presence hanging your head, there's not a lot of scriptural remedy for that. People getting their need. It was people that came with authority. It was men that said, "I am a man of authority. I say go and they go. I say come." And Jesus said, I marvel at that. He wants you to have that kind of authority. That's one of the things the Lord gave us. That train that the Lord filled, a big part of that definition of that train is authority. You have authority as a believer. You have authority over sickness, over disease, over leukemia, over heart conditions. Praise God. Over cancer, over glaucoma. You've got authority. But you got to rise up and say, "In the name of Jesus, I'm not coming to you for somebody that needs a handout that already owes you and he's 90 days in arrear. And I'm not going to have to cry and say, 'Lord, I know I don't deserve it.' Oh, I deserve it not through my flesh, but I deserve it through the grace of God that was shed abroad me by Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Praise God, Sister Becky. Praise God. So Jesus has paid the price. D, I'm not going to get through all this. Our attitude shall now be based on Jesus' finished work. This is a big part of this. Rather than our incomplete behavior. Your behavior might not be yet completed. You might not be everything you're going to be. You might not be as perfect as you're going to be. You might not have completed the ministry God has given you. But the Lord's presence and His healing virtue is based not on your unfinished product, but it's based on Christ's finished product. Because what did Jesus say when He was on the cross? John 19 and 30, when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished," and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Why? Now, I've always wondered about this until the Lord revealed me. Why did Jesus declare it's finished when He died on the cross rather than when He came out of the grave? That looked to me like the finish line is when He came out of the grave. But that's not what He said. He said, "It is finished." Because I'm going to tell you the hardest thing that Jesus Christ ever did, and it's witnessed in the Bible by the event that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, was the toughest battle that Jesus Christ ever faced. The Bible said He literally sweat drops of blood. He literally talked to the Father and said, let this cup pass from me. You know what he was going through? You know, I watch people. You know, there's a number of people, a lot of people actually, that are in our penal system, in prison today, over crimes they didn't commit. It's tough enough to be in jail or prison and you know you're guilty. But what if you're the only person in the world that knows you're not guilty? For what? You didn't rape the woman, you didn't kill the baby, you wasn't even there, and yet you're in life in prison. Thank God DNA is helping a little bit on this, but there's still a lot of people that are unjustly incarcerated. And so when we look at this, this is the hardest thing that Jesus ever did, was in the garden. He said, let this cup pass from me, Father, if it is possible. Because you and I both know living good lives. Now, you have to fight this. When you watch on TV and you see those characters there prayed across the 10 o'clock news, that guy's getting exactly what he needs. Pretty sorry. He bombed that bus and killed those people. He killed that baby. But here's what we really don't grasp, is that action was in that cup that Jesus was going to drink. And that's what he was struggling with. And when he was about to die, that's what he was saying. It is finished. Every sin of the world is on me. And when I take this last breath, there is now blood to cover the most unspeakable, hideous, heinous act that humans can commit. No sin is beyond redemption. And so when we're talking about this, we're talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so when you go to Christ and you need a miracle of healing in your body, don't try to track it back on your tithing record. And I shouldn't say this because this is counterproductive for me. I ought to tell you that if you don't pay your tithes every Sunday, you're going to be sick. That's what I ought to tell you. And I've heard preachers tell people that, and they're absolutely spiritual criminals. I heard a preacher saying, he was a friend of mine, man, I just felt bad. He called me and he wanted me to fly to Madison, New York, go to Madison Square Garden, and he was taking an offering for Benny Hinn's meetings, and Benny gave him 45 minutes in the middle of every crusade to take an offering, and this guy's one of my lifelong friends, and he actually said that night, he said, some of you have committed sins so horrible that God can't forgive you, but he said, if you'll bring $1,000 and put it on this altar, man, I just felt cold chills go all over me. It's just blasphemy. And I've seen people do things like that. That's not true. So when you need your healing, you just realize you got to get in the presence of Jesus. Don't try to track it, the fact that you gave $33,000 to Living Way Church or $50,000 to Billy Graham, or the fact that you did not miss a Wednesday night service for 75 weeks in a row. All of those are commendable things. But that's not what gets the miracle. What gets the miracle is that you come into his presence with confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wanted to get the next, I just don't have time. The boldness that you've got to approach. Stand together with me if you would. And friend, just get it fixed in your mind that preachers are wrong, denominations are wrong, when they try to guide you into the thought process that you're sick for a reason. You're not sick for a reason. You're sick because the devil is the devil and the flesh is the flesh, and it is the will of God to heal you no matter what you're going through. And friend, when you get there, your faith begins to elevate. You're going to see more manifestation of God's healing presence in your life than you've ever seen. You're going to see more of your family healed. You're going to see more of your friends healed. You're going to see God use it as a testimony to bring lost loved ones or lost friends to Christ. It is the will of God to heal you. And the Lord is just, you know, I'm coming down to the last, I don't know how many years I've got left, but the Lord is just increasing my faith and my understanding that he wants me to be able to communicate to more and more people how good he is and how powerful he is and how much he loves us and what he wants to do in our life. But I constantly am attacked by religionists that say, oh, God doesn't want you to be healed. God doesn't want you to be prosperous. God, yes, if it's good, God wants it for me. If you're in this building right now,